Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host. Holy Spirit is our overseer. We were on yesterday. We were playing just worship music because we had some people here at the house working on the garage door in the middle of the night. That spring just blew up, sounded like a bomb, but I had to stay abreast with them, with the dog and so on, and make sure that they didn't take any of my tools or anything in the garage. But anyway, we had to, you know, pay attention to what was going on. So we just played the music. But today we're going to come on and we're going to release a message in the atmosphere and see what the Lord says. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for blessing us with hearing, blessing us with seeing, blessing us with the gift to touch, to, O God, to smell. We ask you, O God, to forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, we pray that you will not allow us to enter into temptation, O Lord, but you would keep us from the evil one. We pray today in the name of Jesus that you continue to order our steps in your word, that your word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you for conversation we had on yesterday, me and Bishop Washington and Apostle Washington. We had good conversation, good time on the phone. Pray that I will be able to get on the line with them tonight in prayer. Father, we ask for your strength. We ask for your continued strengthening of my body. And Lord, allow my spirit to even grow stronger. We ask, O God, that you keep us from the evil one in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the airways, bless the north, the south, the east, and the west. And allow us to hear from heaven in the mighty name of Jesus, that we might glorify your name. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Hallelujah. This is a great day, and we are having an extremely great time in the Lord, because the Lord is good to us. We bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name, Jesus. And glory to God. We are going to come on. Let us play maybe one or two songs, and then we are going to come on and release this message. This is the message I was going to put on yesterday, but, you know, sometimes things happen, and we just worship. We just play some worship music. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how we bless your name, Jesus. Oh, how I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we invite you in this service today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come in and have your way. Thank you, God, for favoring me and giving me life more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus.
Everything
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, by your name. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We bless you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come again and bow down and worship you, O God. We ask you, Father God, to have mercy upon us. Teach us your truth, O God, as we go in to seek your face. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are talking about the rich man, the beggar, and eternity. The rich man, the beggar, and eternity. And we are going to come out of Luke chapter 19, verse 31. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. And then we are going to go to Matthew chapter 19. Verses 16 to 30, and maybe another scripture, I believe. Well, let's go in there and get this on the recording. Father, we ask you to bless this word and let this word go forth with power and authority in the awesome name of Jesus. Here in the book of Luke chapter 19, and we're going to come out the NLT. Luke 16, excuse me, I'm looking at Matthew. Luke 16, and let's start at verse 19. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. In other words, this man was having a great time, or so he taught. He was living a life, we call it a life of Riley. Hallelujah. He was living that kind of life, a life where he wasn't worried about anything. He didn't have to. He had plenty of money, and he had all the necessities that he thought he needed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't this why we see the world today is going after is going after materialistic things? Because the world believes that if it has these things, that it would be all right. And having those things are okay, but you need more than those things. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. So this man was living a luxurious life. He had plenty food, fancy clothes. He had the friends that supported him. You know, hallelujah. We're getting the feedback here, so we're going to change over to the microphone in a minute. Let's see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here in this text, then he says, at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. This poor man would come to his gate, and he would come looking for something to eat. Let me just change over because I'm getting the feedback in my ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We know the enemy is busy. He's a distractor, you know. He distract you, deceive you, and destroy you if he possibly could. But that's what he does. Well, we want to go back in here and get this microphone out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We had to get to that iPhone. So we're here in Luke chapter 16, and verses 21 says, as Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames. Now you see, people, a lot of times people will be, they're having a good time, and they don't think about the poor. They don't think about the needy. They don't think about the widows or the fatherless, the homeless, the orphans. They just think about themselves having a good time. They able to, you ever watch these rich folks and see when they're having a party? They let their hair down. They don't care about anybody or anything. But there's a time coming where they're going to see that it will be changed around, will be flip-flop. They will be having a bad time, and the people that was having a bad time going to be having a good time, because the Lord is going to extend to them grace and mercy. You understand?
So Lazarus, now he's with Abraham. There's a place of safety, a place of compassion. He's with Abraham. The rich man is in a place of torment, anguish. You understand? He has no peace. He has no rest. And his thirst is not quenched. He's longing for some water to quench his thirst, to ease the flames. But Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. Isn't that something? That no sooner he is in that place, you know, he is forgetting that how he treat Lazarus. This is not the Lazarus that Jesus went over and raised from the dead. This is not Lazarus. This is Lazarus the beggar. But you see, Abraham reminds him of how he treat Lazarus when he was in his life, how he reacted to Lazarus. Didn't show Lazarus any kindness, didn't show him any compassion. Lazarus was hungry. He was thirsty. You could say he was actually naked. He was a beggar, clothes all torn up and everything. But he didn't say, well, look, let me go into the closet and let me give you one of these pants I have in here, a clean shirt, some clean briefs, put some socks on your feet, give you a pair of shoes. He wasn't thinking like that. Let me just set another plate and some knife and fork at the table. Let me just set another plate for you. He didn't ever say that. Matter of fact, he was saying all type of mean things to Lazarus. Get out of here, you beggar. You smell. You know how we do. He was saying all the negative things to Lazarus. Now Lazarus is hearing kind words from Abraham. He is in the place of Hades, the rich man. He's in the place of torment, where the demons are tormenting him, so he's not hearing any good words. But now he wants the same Lazarus that he mistreated, that he abused, to come now and solve his dilemma. Bring some water. Not even a cup. He said, just dip your fingers. Just dip the tip of his fingers in water. I'll tell you how much torment he was going through, that he just needed the tip of Lazarus' fingers. But the Bible says, Abraham remind him how he was in his lifetime. But Abraham says, and besides, there is a great chasm or gulf separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there. See, there's a separation. God put a separation between good and evil. You can't come over, and we can't go over there. You have the opportunity now to be on this side if you want to. We give you the prayer of salvation every day. You go to the church building, the preacher's inviting you to come to the altar. But you see, you don't need the altar. You don't need all that stuff. I was watching the evangelist from Living Waters was ministered today, this morning, on YouTube. And he was inviting this young girl, college student. And she couldn't wait. She couldn't wait for him to leave. She was sick and tired, rolling her eyes, pushing out her mouth, everything. And all he was telling her is about salvation. You know. She said that she was a lying thief, a blasphemer, adulterer, and all this stuff she said. But she still said she was a good person. Isn't that like the people in the world? They're fornicating, they're committing adultery, they're stealing, they're lying, they're cheating. And they still believe that they're good. They still believe that God is going to let them in. It's harder. It's hard. Even some of us that teaching and preaching might not even make it in. Might scarcely make it in. This is what Abraham says. Then the rich man says, please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's house. So he got some brothers that are not saved. Hallelujah. He said, at least, Father Abraham, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. See, it's, you know, they're looking, they want to see a miracle. They want to see a sign. You know, they want to see something that looks different in order for them to receive Jesus. Well, it already happened. He came from the dead. Jesus rises up from the dead. So that we know that we know that we know that he's alive. He went to the cross. We know this. We know this because it's in the book. He went to the cross and laid down his life so that we wouldn't have to lay down ours. But now we allow the devil to tell us, to test us, to lead us, and keep us away from Christ. In Matthew chapter 29, then we will come back to Luke chapter 16, and we are, let's go to Matthew chapter 19, and let's start at verse 16. Someone came to Jesus with this question, teacher, what good deeds must I do to have eternal life? Remember, we're talking about the rich man, the beggar, and eternity. So this person came to Jesus and asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternity? We are telling them every single task we get, every opportunity that we get, we are telling them about eternity. We're telling them how to turn from sin to righteousness, how to turn from darkness to light. But they don't want to hear because the world is showing them something that seems to be good to them, seems to be energizing, exciting to them. So they don't want to hear about turning to Christ, about submitting and committing. They don't want to hear about repentance. Hallelujah. I was talking to Pastor Washington last night for a long time, and Bishop Washington, and she was talking about all the same thing. You know, how people don't want to repent because the world is busy showing them another sign, a sign that looks good. And you know, we always say it may look good to you, but it don't have to be good to you. So we're talking about the rich man, the beggar, and eternity. Now, we just read the scripture from Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. And now we are here in Matthew chapter 19, and we're starting at verse 16. We're not going to be long today. We were on yesterday just worship because we had some people over here working on the garage. I had to keep an eye on them because, you know, people that work with tools, they'll take your tools while you're not looking, you know, so I had to keep my eye on them. So the Bible says, someone came to Jesus, question, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Now, we're talking about this eternal life. People don't want to give up the life that they have. We tell them that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and that he's the life. No one cometh to the Father except by Jesus. You can't get in any other way. If you try to come in any other way, you'll be a thief and a robber. He told you that in John chapter 10. But people say, well, you know, I got my life to live. And I'm going to live this life the way I want to. Nobody going to tell me. I'm not getting hooked up with that Jesus. I'm not hooking up with that God they're talking about. They want to tell me, but I tell you, the chance is coming. The time is coming. And it's so close on top of us. It's on top of us. You look on the news and you see the people rioting and protesting all over the world, not just in America, all over the world. They're walking around. I was listening this morning that on the news, the man was at some school, and the man asked him, he said, what you all about? He says, I'm a transvestite. So the man acted like he don't know what he was saying. So the man asked him again, well, what that mean? He said, well, I'm a woman. So the man should have asked him some more questions, but the man just shut his mouth. Because if you say the wrong thing, they call it the wrong thing. If you say the right thing, they say it's the wrong thing. And then they say you offend them. They say you offend them, and then they come against you. You understand? They say this stuff. So we got to continue to stay on our A game. What happened is that we're coming up off the A game too easy. I told them on Friday night, people, too many preachers are preaching watered down, what I call, what Deacon Fraser called it, Kool-Aid messages, lemonade messages, sweet, so they can get pat on the back. I don't need a pat. I'm here sitting down with my chest itching because it's healing. And when it's healing, it's itchy. I can't scratch it because I might get tore the skin and get infected. But they're so full of stuff, they don't want to hear the truth. Hallelujah. You don't need a pat on your back. You got life. Preach what God said to preach. Hallelujah. Jesus speaking, the young man wants to know what he must do to receive eternal life. And Jesus says, why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. In other words, he called Jesus good master. And some Bibles, he said, why call me good? There's only one good, you know. And Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. That's what Jesus told him, plain. He didn't stammer. He said, look, if you want to really receive eternal life, you got to keep God's word. Obey God's word. We want to preach. We want to teach. But we don't want to obey God's word. We want all the blessings that come with knowing Jesus. And that's about knowing of Jesus, because they don't want to get to know Jesus. Because when you get to know Jesus, guess what? You're going to have to operate in the principles of who Jesus is. And that's what they don't want to do, because the principles keeps them from acting a fool, acting their fool. No, what Jesus said. Let's get this thing on. We only got maybe one or two more scriptures to give you. We out of here. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Ah, bless the name of the Lord. Which one? The man asked, and Jesus replied. Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He asked Jesus, which one of the commandments should I keep? No. So then Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Isn't that like us? We know two scriptures. We learn two scriptures, and we think that we got it together. We're going to heaven because we know two scriptures. And all the rest we disobey. Hallelujah. So Jesus come back. You know, the boy, the young man, he said, look, I do all this stuff. From my youth, I've been doing all this stuff. I was brought up in the synagogue. They taught me everything. You can see him telling Jesus. I was brought up in the synagogue. I was taught, my parents, they made sure that I learned the commandments. So he says, what else must I do? And Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, we were telling you all last week how we had people calling, sending text messages, not calling, text messages from Africa. They needed food. But the Lord has blessed us with a little job. And we were able to send True Western Union to make sure them kids had food. I got a picture this morning how Nairobi is flooded out. See, because you don't understand where people are worshiping so many different gods. India flooded out. China flooded out. Dubai flooded out. You understand this is the God that we serve. He can flood all these different nations at the same time. Even though he's not going to flood the whole world. But he's trying to let the people know, look, I'm still God. I'm still on the throne. And I tell you, if you continue to sin, you're going to have consequences. See, they're worshiping a lot of different gods. You got pastors that are going down to the water, to the Kundalini spirit. They're going down there to talk to the marine spirit because they want power. Power belongs to God. They want to get up and call up people's name and say, well, hey, Brother John is out there sitting in the audience, and call your whole name and say, well, this is going to happen, and all this thing of witchcraft they're doing in the church. And God is frustrated. He is fed up with this kind of foolishness. So floods are happening everywhere. Pastors are running for their lives. Pastors are kicking people and telling them they're full with the Holy Ghost. I seen this here. I said, what kind of ministry is this? Pastor walking on people. That's not gospel. Hallelujah. Listen what Jesus said. Jesus told him, sell everything because Jesus knew that this young man was rich. He had a lot of materialistic things. The things that we gravitate to, the more we get, the more we want. This is why you see so many preachers are getting in trouble. Why? Because the more they get, the more they want. They're not saying, well, look, I got millions of dollars. Let me help the poor. Let me help the widows. Let me help the fatherless. Let me help the orphans. No, the more they get, the more they want. They got 70 million, they want 14 million. They got 14 million, they want 28 million. You know, they're never satisfied. Listen what it says. Man, this is so powerful. I wanted to deliver this yesterday, but, man, I was so busy here. Hallelujah. He says, but when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. As I read this, and y'all know I heard many preachers preach this word, but as I was studying this last night, laying on the bed, the first thing that came to my mind, don't let your possessions cause you to go to hell. Because now your possessions become a god. Your alligator shoes, your crocodile shoe, your gold watch, your diamond rings, your diamond bracelets, all this stuff you're wearing, it becomes a god. And you put more time in with your cars and your homes and stuff than you put in praising God. I was telling an apostle last night. I told her last night, she said, what did you talk to Evangelist Brown and Evangelist Brown and Pastor Brown? And certain things she was saying. But I just tell her, look, you know, a lot of people are worried about what they don't have. We say it all the time on Blog Talk Radio. People worry about what they don't have. But they don't have to take the initiative to even praise God for what they have. Man, a lot of things I would love, as Lord knows. A lot of things I would love because I knew if I had the funds that I want, I could do so much to help others. But I said, Lord, the little that I have, I'm going to help others. Because the Bible says if you be faithful with little, he'll make you ruler of much, much more. Hallelujah. So a lot of people waiting, the apostle, they wait till they become a millionaire to give to the poor. I got people come on here on Blog Talk Radio, apostle, and they said, well, I'm going to send you something. I'm going to help you help the people. They ain't never going to send nothing. They're working full-time jobs. They can give $25, $20, $10. But they're willing to get $1 million to give $100. It's not going to happen. And God's people is not waiting for the $100. That's why God makes sure he gives us a little bit of work from time to time. He ain't pushing too much on me right now because, you know, I'm still healing. I know this. I can do a lot of stuff, though, because I just went underneath my truck, and my neighbors just said, man, you shot me. I went underneath my truck, and I had to put a motor on my truck day before yesterday to get my running board working. And I got to change the front shock, so they're supposed to come today from Amazon. But I'm not going to work on it today. I'll work on it on Saturday afternoon. And I'll work on it. Put on the two front shocks with the springs on Saturday. But hear this word. I just love this word. Because folk are so caught up. The more they get, the more they want. They're not satisfied. They don't want to give God the praise that is so due to his omnipotent name, to his omniscient name. They don't want to give him, the sovereign Lord, the praises that he's so due. They say, Lord, I don't have this. Lord, I don't have that. Lord, can you bless me with this? I want more. What do I want more of me? I want more of God. I want less of me to be seen and less of me to be heard. I want God to pour into my spirit. As I say the word, I want the word to just cling to my heart. I don't want the devil to be able to steal it. I want that when I'm studying the word and I'm laying on that bed and I'm turning the pages on the computer, that the word cling to my heart and excite me and raise me up mighty inside. Hallelujah. So here the young man went away from Jesus, sad, knowing how much stuff he had. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Because Jesus look and see. Excuse me. He looks at us. He looks and see that we put other things before him. Not just this rich man. We put that, you said people tell, they got time. They ain't got nothing to do. And you said, well, look, we going to pray tomorrow afternoon at sister time. They said, well, I'll be there. Tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. They ain't got nothing to do. But they find an excuse not to pray. Now, when God, they're calling on God for blessings and God don't answer, what do you think? You don't want to have a conversation with him, but now you want to call him up. You want a couple $1,000s. You want $1 million. You want all this stuff. Some people are going crazy right now because they're waiting for this money to be released. We can't praise God for the little money they have. Can't bless nobody. There's people out there that begging. The beggar was only the rich man's table test, waiting for the crumbs. We read that earlier in Luke. Waiting for the crumbs. Anyone even put something, drop something for the beggar. The dogs come and lick the sores on the beggar. You know the dog's saliva got anesthesia in it. Antiseptic. In the keys the cut. We used to do that in the copy. Let the dog, we get a cut and scratch. We go call the dog and let the dog lick it. Because the saliva going to cause that scratch or cut you have on your leg to heal fast. The rich man couldn't go down. The poor man couldn't go down to the emergency room because he had no insurance. He couldn't go to call the private doctor and say, well, look, I'm coming over there. And, no, because he had no funds. The dog was licking on him. And the rich man, he's in his fancy garments. And he haven't eaten the best food. All his friends are coming over because they all celebrating together. And we told you, the rich man died and was Abraham, the poor man died and was Abraham. The rich man died and went to hell. Now in hell, he looked up and see Abraham. He walked out the poor man that he wouldn't even get a piece of sandwich to dip his finger, tip his finger in the water to rest to cool his town. Ain't that like some of us? They said that, you know, they wouldn't help you, wouldn't do nothing for you. But as soon as they go into some some disaster, some bad dilemmas. They're facing bad dilemmas. They call you. They want you to pray for them. They want you to come over and visit them. They want you to do everything. But when they was on the high horse, when they was surfing on the clouds, they weren't even looking down on you. You look like a little, they would fly like eagles, and you look like a little chicken on the ground. They won't come down to see you. Do you hear me today? Listen to what he says. See, Jesus is powerful because he's in by this town, and we got to get this in us. If we get this in us, a lot of people get saved because, like the man with living waters, he tell them the truth. You're in an airplane. God bless me every time he says that. You're in an airplane and the plane is going through turbulence and the plane about to crash. They tell you to put on your parachute. You're not going to jump out the plane without a parachute. You're going to make sure you get the parachute. Well, you're on the verge of going to hell, but you got to access, you got to request to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you said you're not ready for that. You don't know if the next hour you're going to die, the next minute, but you don't want to receive Jesus. And the preacher make an altar call. You know you don't know him. You know you don't have a relationship with him. Yes, you go to the church building. Some of you all over there, computer land. You go to the church building Sunday, Wednesday night, Saturday night, Friday night. Excuse me. Whenever the doors open, you go to the church building. You sing, you dance, you have a good time, but you don't have a relationship with the Savior. You know how I know you don't have a relationship with the Savior? Because the things that you're doing. The things that you're doing on a regular basis that does not glorify God. You don't have a relationship with him. Listen, what the rich man, he showed to the rich man. To him, sell everything and give to the poor. He went away sad. Jesus told the disciples, very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who is in the world can be saved, they asked. Jesus laid a foundation. He put it down before them. Hallelujah. They said, who is able to be saved? Jesus looked at them intensely and said, humanly speaking, it is possible, but humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Everything. If you would just open your spiritual ears and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, doesn't matter how far down in hell you've been, Jesus is able to reach way down and pick you up. I know this because he did it for me. And he did it for a lot of the people on the line. He is able to do this. All we have to do is be willing to accept his call. That's the problem. We don't want to accept the call of the Most High God. Because the things in the world is enticing us, drawing us to them. Do you hear me this day? The things in this world is drawing us to them. Listen what he says. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Ooh. Then Peter said to him, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? Jesus said, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. See, Peter wants to know, I'll follow you. We'll follow you. What is in it for us? We've given up everything. You know, we don't even have to ask. It's in the Bible. It's in the manuscript. All the good rewards that we're going to get. all the good things that are prepared for us. It's in the book. And that should be more than enough. Because when the end comes, it's not the end. It's the end for those that don't know him. But for us that know him, that have a relationship with him, it's just the beginning for us. The beginning of new life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we should be excited. Glory to God. I was surprised yesterday. We were doing some things and watching them people. Because I heard that thing last night, Apostle. Man, it sounded like a gun went off inside the garage. I looked in the garage. I couldn't figure what it was. Because everything looked normal. There wasn't nobody in there. But it was one of them high-pressure springs on the garage door. I didn't see it till this morning. Till yesterday morning. We saw it. And then we got that fixed. Had to come and put a spring. But I want to tell you about this Savior. We are being attacked from every side. Man, Christians are getting stabbed. As you listen to the news, they're getting stabbed. They're getting hit in the head. All this stuff is going on. This is end time. Bible tells us plainly that we're going to be persecuted for his name's sake. Some of us are going to even be martyred. We're going to be killed for his name's sake. It's happening right now in Nigeria, in Africa, in India. Man, I see them beating this Christian. We call them Sikhs. They're Sikhs. And they're beating the Christians with 2x4, busting up the head, the blood coming down the face. And we sitting here, don't want to hear the word. This young man came on the line. He was on the line all day yesterday till the line went off. Well, I said, well, you know what, Lord, I don't want to be preaching and running back and preaching and running, so I just play worship music. Because I know I will come on today. And tonight I'll go on the prayer line with Apostle and then Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, go over there. See what the Lord got to say. But here he says, Jesus assured them that they're doing the right thing. Following him, you're going to get rewarded. Your walk with him is not going to be in vain. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. This is eternity. You're not losing. If you stop following Jesus, you're going to lose. Because what you're trying to hold on to, you can't keep. You understand? People are trying to hold on to the world stuff. You can't keep it. Let it go. Follow Jesus. And you'll see you'll get more. That's what he told the disciples. You'll get 100 times all that you give up. What did Job got? Job got devil for his trouble. He lost his children. He lost all his lifestyle, his money, his house, everything he lost. But at the end, God gave him double. Everything that he got was double. Because he stayed faithful to his call. He didn't let Satan bend him, but he didn't break him. And this is what my pastor told me years ago. She said, son, if you remain flexible, you will not get bent out of shape. Problem is we get broken too easy. We get broken because somebody said something, somebody did something, and we said, I'm not going to fellowship with you all anymore. I'm not going back to the church anymore. I don't want to be part of the church anymore. Like, you're going to church for the pastor. You're going to church for the bishop. You're going to church for the prophet or the prophetess or the evangelist or the pastor, teacher, the apostle. You're going to church because you want to get closer to God. And you want to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. But main thing that you're going to the building is because you want to get closer to God. You want to know him by knowing his word. And the pastor pours the word into you so you get a better understanding of who Jesus is. Because most people that study the Bible don't understand what the Bible is saying. I was watching a man this morning. He's talking to the evangelist. He says, he reads the Bible every day. Young man, he said, I read the Bible every day. He said, but I don't understand. I don't understand what it's saying. And he's looking at scripture in Proverbs where they said the woman's a prostitute and she caused the men's hearts to burn. And he told the preacher, he says, it seems like God is making the woman to be evil or bad. So the preacher had to break down the word for him. You know, men have this lust in them. And if a woman is selling her body, the lust going to cause them to gravitate to the woman, to go after the woman. It's not till you get that lust under control by following God. If you don't, surrender your body to him, guess what happens? You'll be pushing and find yourself doing some unseen stuff, like all these bishops and apostles that are doing all this nasty stuff because they had no control over their body. He said, but many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. See that? You may not be recognized by folk as a great preacher. You may not be recognized as anybody at all. You're not on the radio. You're not on television. You don't have big crusades. You don't go into the big stadiums and have thousands of people following you. But guess who's watching you? Jesus is, and the angels in heaven, the Father too, is watching and seeing the work that you're doing, and you will be rewarded for the work. You don't have to get 10,000 people to be rewarded. God see that you're faithful with the little that you have, and he's going to make you ruler over much. God see this. This is why we don't stop. Sometimes I don't feel like, you hear me say that, sometimes I don't feel like coming, but I come. Even if I just got to put on the radio. Yes, Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 20. We want to go back to Luke chapter 16, though. Yeah, just two verses in, and then we're gonna come in here. This is so powerful, I tell you. You know, the word of God is just so rich. In Luke chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, this is what he says. The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. They were mocking Jesus. Then he said to them, you like to appear righteous and in public, but God knows your heart. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. See, this thing here, this is powerful. The things that the world and even some of the preachers that are going after is detestable. It's abomination before God. Not that God don't want you and I and want us, his children, to have nice things, but as soon as the nice things have us and draw us away from him, he don't want that. Not what God wants. Some people say, well, God don't want me to enjoy my life. No, God wants you to enjoy your life. Why do you think he says he give you his peace? Why is excuse me. I'm stuck just right at the wrong throat. Excuse me. Why do you think he says his peace he left with you, not as the world give him? Why he says he tells that the joy of the Lord is your strength? God wants you to enjoy your life. But the moment you start, look what these preachers. Now they say that Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, and Oprah Winfrey, they're coming down. They got charges against them because of what they've been doing. You know, all of it, sex trafficking and human trafficking, all this foolishness they've been doing. Because why? Money. The Bible says the love of money. Money is not bad, but when you start getting, putting money in all this stuff ahead of God, it will make you do bad things. You see people killing people, killing one another and hurting one another, oh, because of money. You know? I told yesterday, I said, man, you can have a little bit and still find joy. And have more joy than some people that have a whole lot. I know people that have a lot of money and possible, and they're miserable. And they got a lot of money, but miserable. Don't have no peace, don't have no joy. Here he says, man, look, he talked to the five C's. They got money. They have stuff, materialistic things. And they're perishing with those things. Here, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 20, 26 and 27, this is what he says. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become slave. Most people don't want to do that. Listen to what Jesus says. He teaches them to serve. This is one of the things we don't do a lot in the church. We preach the gospel. We sing. We prophesy. But we don't teach people how to be servants. And that's the thing that the pastors and leaders need to do. Teach them how to serve. Everybody want to get there. I can't wait till my Sunday come to preach. I can't wait till my Wednesday night to teach. Learn how to serve. When something needs to be done, jump up. Be quick. Don't wait for the pastor to call you and say, well, can you go check and see why the water running over in the bathroom? Man, I'm a leader. And I'm at a church and the pastor says, he says, I know you're a plumber. I know you know all this stuff. The ladies' bathroom, the water's flooding inside there. I go in there with my nice shoes and everything because God gave me them shoes. The soil ain't coming off. And I walk in the water. And I went in there in quick seconds. The pastor said, man, you figure that thing out quick. I said, this is what I used to do for a living. He thought, no, he got to call in this and got to do this because he knew that I'm sick, you know. He said, I don't want you to do too much, you know. Got to pull the toilet off the floor and do all that stuff. If something, I said, no, this is a simple problem. Cause I figured quick, so just visual looking, and I could see where the water was coming from. I said, was that tube inside the toilet tank? So I took the lid off, and I see the tube was spraying up into the top, so the water was running down the side of the toilet tank, and was flooding inside the bathroom. I put it back in the overflow tube, flushed the toilet, everything was fine. Most people say, but no, you're a bishop, you're a pastor, you're this thing. You're not supposed to do that. No, that's what I call to do. I come to your church, man, and I see trash outside. I'm going to pick it up. That's God's house. I'm not going there, boy, walking, pushing my chest up like I'm all that and a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. No. That's God's house. I come there, see a beer can in front of the church. I'm taking them up. Why? Because that don't make the church look good, even though the church didn't smoke, didn't drink that beer. I'm going to take it up. But people say, well, you know, I'm not called to do that. I go to church. I saw the paper on the floor. I'm going to step right over it because I didn't drop it on the floor. The toffee paper, the candy bar, chocolate bar paper on the floor. You step right over it. No. How do you think God going to give you something where you don't even want to have to take his house? He told them Pharisees. Listen to what he says. He says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you. One on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Jesus no talking about his crucifixion. Because he knows the end before the beginning. You know, a lot of people want to be, they say they want to preach, and I want to be a preacher, but they don't understand what preaching's got to go through. They say, but it looks so luxurious, and it looks so exciting to be a preacher. Everybody see, like, everybody is under your control. It's more than that. And people call you at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, oh, Pastor, I just need you to pray for me. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Or they want to come to your house. They want to come to your house, man. You want to spend time with your husband or want to spend time with your wife. And they want to come to your house because their marriage is going through all types of problems. You got to say, well, honey, I can't go with you. I got to minister to Brother Rabbit or Brother Cabbage. Or you got to get up and say, look, somebody call you and Brother John is at the hospital. And the wife said, look, Sister James is at the hospital. I need you to come down to the hospital because I need you to come down here and pray for me. You got to get in your car or you got to get somebody to take you to the hospital. Man, pastors go through a lot, but people take it for granted because somebody, he is just a pastor. People call you and put all their trouble on you. They don't want to pay no tithes, don't want to give no offering. But as soon as they start going through stuff, oh, you're the problem solver. They're going through some dilemma. Hey, let me just call a bishop. Let me just call up a prophetess. Let me call the pastor. They're going to put it on you. That's what the pastor deal with. That's his calling. That's servanthood. Hallelujah. But people don't recognize how much we got to deal with. And they take your pastorship for granted. Talk to you any way they want to. Say anything about you they want to. And then come and look in your face and smile. Listen what Jesus says. Jesus says, you don't know where you are. Listen what it says. They say, oh, yes. They reply, we are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen.
As you?
When the ten other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant.
Yeah, I never heard them.
And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave.
How many bottles of water you left up there?
For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus came to serve.
Still ain't found no bet, no.
If we're going to walk this walk, we're going to have to do like Jesus. We're going to have to make up in our mind that we're going to serve. Got the preachers today. They got a little iPad. They can't even carry the little iPad. You know, when the computers first come out, everybody had a laptop. I got one, too. I got an old one there. It still works fine. But then we went to iPads. So everybody got to get a computer. And when they had the computer, nobody, you see the preacher coming. They got the armor bear. The armor bear got the, is carrying the computer for the preacher. Preacher got two empty hands. Two empty hands. Then the armor bear got to make sure he got the orange juice. It's the pastor light. Ain't no nothing wrong with that. Some pastors like orange juice, some people like water, and some pastors like warm water, some people like cold water. A whole lot of stuff that we doing. And they say, well, I don't want the water cold. I just want the water lukewarm, you know, room temperature, you know. They tell you that. All this stuff they do because they want to show like they're so big and so mighty. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save. But what's most important about this message, Jesus says, he's serving. Listen what he says. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. How much of us today are willing to give up our life? Not too many. People don't even want to go. They hear you want some help, don't even want to come and help you. They find a reason why not to help you. They always have an excuse. Hallelujah. This is the only work that there's so many excuses. People are full of excuses when it comes to kingdom work. But like I said, they'll call you up. Soon as you've got to go to the hospital or something, oh, pastor, oh, my son this, my daughter this, my cousin this, my aunt this. They'll call you up and bother you and put it on you because they want you to have that way. Say, well, you my pastor. You're their pastor when they're going through. But when you want help, you're not their pastor. They have an excuse. That's what they do. I was in the hospital, pastor. You all wasn't over here. And the pastor that I know for a while, and he just found out I was in the hospital. When I look up, he was right there. He was right there. You hear what I'm saying? And a bishop that we did so much for him, for his church. Oh, we did so much for his church. He didn't even call to see how I was doing. And this pastor, I've known him a long time, but in the last few months, we started getting much closer in the spirit. And a man came in the hospital and cried like a baby because he saw me with all of those tubes they had on me. I had a battery pack on me that was helping my heart, the balloon work for my heart. You know, if I had to go to the bathroom, I had to go with that battery pack. It would disconnect me from all the other stuff up top. And that battery pack would monitor, they can monitor my heart. He cried like a baby. But the preachers that I help, Apostle, is the ones that I help, that he in Boston didn't even come. Didn't even come to see how I was doing. And this is what happened with you as a pastor, preacher, teacher. Man, the people that you have, that you strung up yourself for their families, you pray for them. Man, you take you and your wife, go on down. You and your husband go to pray for them. And stuff going on with you, you don't see them people. You don't see them. They don't even call you. They're too busy. How you doing, Pastor? I ain't hear your voice for a while. I ain't see you. Don't even check on you. But I thank God for Jesus. The beggar died. Some versions of the Bible say he was caught up in Abraham's bosom. The version I was reading from today say he was by Abraham's side. The rich man died. He went to hell. He was tormented in hell. Hot in hell. You hear what I'm saying? Not a drop of water. I preach a message on that. Hell is hot, not a drop of water. But he called out to Abraham, Father Abraham, allow Lazarus to just dip his finger in the water, cool my town. See, you got folk that is not going to do, is not going to help you. But when this fire come on them, they call enough for you to help them. Because guess what? You're going to be in position. God putting us in position now. Listen to me. All this stuff you see going on, God putting us in position. We got to be ready to step into position. Do you know that blessings are getting ready to come to all of us, children of God, with all this stuff going on? I got a message this morning how the waters are coming down the mountains and coming into the city of Nairobi and flooding the places. People's houses being washed away. Looking at Dubai last night. They got gold. They got buildings that made out of gold, and they're flooded with water. People trying to get out of Dubai. They were trying to run there because there was so much gold. Now they're trying to get out of Dubai because of water. Yes, sir. Because of floods. God says it's time for us to stand up and stand up for the truth and speak the truth with boldness. That's what he wants. Boldness. Stop watering down the word of God. Stop watering down. Talk about sin. All kind of sin. Don't just pick up the homosexual. Think about sin. Sin. S-I-N. You don't have to specify homosexualism. You don't have to say lesbian or prostitute. Sin. If you continue to sin, you will die. You will die spiritual death. Tell them that. Yeah, I know you all say we only got one night to live, but the Bible says you're going to have a second. You're going to come out that grave a second time. That's what he says. There's going to be a second resurrection. And he said, blessed are those who are in the first resurrection, because the second one don't have no power over you. Hallelujah. That's where you got to live. You got to live holy. You got to live righteous. You got to be who God said you are. Don't play no games with God, because God knows the truth. Remember that? He told him that. He told him stuff that he was saying. What he told him is he's telling about the end before the beginning. He knows everything. Bible said he looked at the heart while men are looking at the outside. We dress up to please other brothers. We seek in honor from other people, from other preachers, not the honor that comes from God. The honor that comes from God lasts. It lasts a lifetime. Nobody can take it from you. But when man honor you, he can take it from you. I hear one preacher say, he says, I ordain these people, and now they're acting on seemingly to me. He said, but don't they know I can make a phone call? And when they're gone over there with them other preachers, I can make a phone call and shut them down. When man give you honor, man can take it from you too. But when God honor you, nobody can take it from you. I tell you this. The Lord says the same will be here tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow. If the Lord say the same. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. I don't know what you're going to give me for tomorrow. But I thank you for today. Because you let me know that being rich is not what it's all about. But being rich in you, rich in the things of God, is what really matters. It lasts. You should seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. That's what you told us, Lord. You said the blessings of the Lord make you rich, and you add no sorrows to it. So I thank you, Father God. I thank you for blessing us with life. Most of all, God, breathing the breath of life into our nostrils, Lord, because we recognize that it wasn't the alarm clock, it wasn't the computer system, it wasn't the television system, it wasn't the church building bell, but it was your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father God. Lord, many have crossed over last night that was here yesterday. They're no longer here. And I thank you, O God, for what you are doing. Thank you for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you for the elder. Thank you for Brother Mark. Lord, thank you for Deacon Frazier. Thank you for Minister Jones, and I thank you for Prophetess Kersey. Lord, I thank you for Apostles Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington, Apostle Millie Jefferson. Lord, thank you for all those Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Evangelist Carl Baxton, Pastor Brown. Lord, we thank you for Prophetess Jackie Taylor, Lord God, and Prophetess Christina Merkel. Lord, we just thank you, oh God, for your, oh God, your omnipotent presence. Thank you for the work that you do through us, oh God. Because, Lord, we can't do anything on our own, but we can do things as you continue to strengthen us, oh God. We just pray today, Lord God, that you have mercy upon us, Lord God. Forgive us when we are not able to forgive ourselves, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you continue to lead us and guide us into all truths, oh God. Father, we don't proclaim to be anything that you don't say we are. Only what you say we are and what we can be is what we say, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you today. We ask you to bless the atmosphere. Pray for Africa. Lord, for all the water that they are having over there. All the flood waters that are coming down the main streets of Nairobi. Lord God, in the slums. They hardly have any great place to live. They got galvanized with 2x4s holding up the galvanized. Some of them got tarps over 2x4s. And they're sleeping on the ground. Now they can't sleep on the ground because the ground is so filled with water. Lord, we just pray, God, that you make a way. Lord, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. I pray today, God, that you touch Dubai. So many Muslims people are coming to Christ, and so many don't want to see Christ or hear about Christ. But we ask you, Father God, to touch them that they might be drawn to you. Muslims are getting baptized by the thousands in Indiana. I mean, they're just going into the river and being led by the Holy Spirit to receive you. Some of them are converting by just having an encounter with the Spirit of God. They're seeing him in the dream, and they're telling other people. Glory to God, I ask, oh God, that you just convict, oh God, by your Spirit, Lord. Not by power, nor by might, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. We pray, Father God, for everyone that's unsaved today. Father, that you might reach down from your throne in glory into time, and that you might touch those that are not saved, that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior today. As the Word of God says, that if they come, believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that God raised you from the dead, they will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believe on you shall not be ashamed. The Bible says that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would just trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, the Bible said that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what the Scripture says. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus come to save. That's why he's servant number one. He's serving the sinner, serving us salvation. And the Bible says that we love darkness rather than light because our deeds were evil. Jesus is the light. People are saying they don't want to hear the name Jesus. And a lot of leaders would not even say Jesus in the house. Can you imagine you on a service and service for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and the preacher don't never say Jesus? The devil comes in the house, and we won't say Jesus to disrupt the devil. But I'm going to call upon him all the time because I know he's the one that keeping me standing. I can't stand on my own. I know he's the one doing it for me. So I bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you today. The Bible says, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says. Acts 2:38. You got to repent. You're not getting in without repentance. Repentance means that you got to turn away from your lifestyle, the life you've been living. You're not going to get in the same way you are. Understand? You have to repent. And see, the preacher's ready to lead you to Jesus. The preacher can't do nothing for you. Jesus is going to do the work in the spirit. The preacher going to lead you, point you to Jesus. And you're going to confess to Jesus that you acknowledge your sin. Your sin is ever before you, like David said in Psalm 51. And you're going to ask Jesus, denounce Satan and all of his agents. That's what you get salvation. You got to denounce the things that held you in bondage. Can't hold on to them and think you're going to go to heaven. A lot of people say, I'm going to heaven. The preacher said, yeah, they said, he says, so many preachers, so many church folk going to bust hell wide open. Because they think they can still keep on doing the same stuff they've been doing, going to church dressed up like a dressed up garbage can, and they think that they're impressing God, they're going to heaven. No, no, no. The heart is what God's looking at. Not all fancy gear, not all fancy words that we speak, all elaborate words that we speak. Because you know we speak the Greek, we speak the Latin, we speak the Hebrew, and we exercise and all of this stuff we do. That sounds real eloquent, but it don't move God. What moved God is obedience to his word. The young man didn't want Jesus anymore. When Jesus told him, sell everything he had and go give it to the poor and come follow him, the young man left Jesus upset. He was mad because he had a lot. Don't let the stuff that you have hinder you from heaven. Hallelujah. A lot of people going to miss it. We want to hold on to the stuff. People lose it. Look. I'm looking at a preacher. You know the preacher. And the preacher losing a mega ministry because of the finances. because of money. Because money is what lead him out of the light of God into the darkness of Satan, doing the sinful stuff. And now the people leaving the church. The people are walking away from the church. It was a mega church. 2-3 services. You understand? My mama should tell me when I was a little boy, she said, son, be careful what you're doing. Because he says, morning will run to light, the night catches to it. And I didn't understand. She was speaking a natural parable to me. Because, you know, morning starts up, but sooner or later, the sun going to go down and darkness going to cover the earth. And she was telling me about sin. You know, you keep on doing that sin, it going to catch up to you. And I had to make some changes. That thing was coming after me real fast. Now, for you all out there that hearing about salvation today, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you got to understand it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus that can save your soul. Even though the pastor preaching, hollering, hooping, and all that stuff, and spit on the microphone, all that stuff, look, the pastor only just pointing you to Jesus. That's all the pastor doing. The pastor didn't went to Calvary, didn't get nailed, didn't get pierced, didn't get crowned with thorns. He is just a servant. That's what Jesus said. We got to all become servants. You're serving the people, and you're serving God by serving the people. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. Remember Eli the priest? Don't put yourself on a pedestal like you all that. Because the pedestal can kick out from underneath you and you will be dead. You'll break your neck. Stay humble, stay honest to God, not to the brother or sister. I told a preacher the other day, he said that he wants to be my what they call it, overseer. I told him I got an overseer. My overseer is Apostle Stuart. He may not know that, but I look at him as an overseer to me. You know, I feel like I'm accountable to him. If something go around, I'll call him and go talk to him about it. But I try to walk. I try my best to walk honestly before God, because I know he got the keys to heaven and hell. But if something happened, I'm gonna call the apostle and talk to him about it. But this overseer, this chief apostle, wants to be my overseer. You know, I don't know him like that. I told him I gotta pray about it. I pray about everything. Because, yeah, I'm subject to mess up easy, very subject. I'm subject to mess the T up and mess the I up. So I have to always stay abreast of pray to God, talk to God about everything. And he said, well, you got to cross that T over there. You got to dot that I over there, you know. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we said a lot of scriptures out of my spirit. Call upon him today, the Lord Jesus. I heard the word today, and I recognize I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I repent of my sin, and that my sins are many. You see them all. You know them all. But I'm coming to you as a sinner in need of a Savior, knowing that you're the only one that are able to save my soul from hell. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. Today, Lord Jesus, I believe what Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11 says. So I'm confessing with my mouth that which I believe in my heart, that you are the Lord who were crucified at Calvary, or he'll call Golgotha, or the skull. It's the same place. That you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and that the Father raised you up on the third day. I believe this, Lord Jesus, and I'm confessing this with my mouth. For the word says that you are faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe today, Jesus, and I'm inviting you to come into my heart, take up your rightful position as Lord, Savior, and soon coming King of my life. If you just said that prayer and you believe what you say with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now you want to call up a pastor, preacher, or teacher that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, because everybody, a lot of people are baptized in different ways. But you want a pastor that will baptize you in Jesus' name. And you got to be specific, because this is your soul salvation. The Bible says you got to work on your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. So I don't let people baptize you however they want to. And then if you're going to get baptized by the pastor, I just got to say much, but try to investigate the pastor, see what kind of lifestyle he lives, because you don't want everybody laying hands on you. I don't let everybody lay hands. I don't care how well they preach. I don't let everybody lay hands. Not that I'm so different. I just know that this is my salvation, and I'm not going to let nobody transfer no spirit from their life to mine. Why you think all these preachers going around, they're sleeping with one letter? Men sleeping with one letter because they're transferring spirits. You understand? Don't let it happen to you. The Bible says, Jesus told him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall receive. They shall be covered. They shall recover. It's so important. You want to get a pastor that will baptize you in Jesus' name. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, because this is the time you want witnesses. Even some of them witnesses may say, you know what? Now they really believe that you have given your life to Christ, because, you know, you say that you say, but people don't believe that you say, because they know the lifestyle we used to live. And they got to see a change in us for them to believe. So this is your open declaration going down in that ward, declaring that you have given your life to Christ. And you invite a great host of people. And some of them people might say, well, talk to the pastor. When can I get baptized? The pastor said, well, you got to receive Jesus first. And the pastor, of course, will come to the church and we'll talk, you know, and so on. But you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And after you get baptized, you're going down that water we call the liquid grave. Wherever you get baptized, at the ocean, at the lake, at the pool, at the YMCA pool or whatever, the church pool, baptismal pool, you're going down in the liquid grave. And Jesus going in there with you. Because remember, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake. And you go down that water, and when you come back up, you come back up with Jesus. When I came back up the water, I ran. I was so excited. And even now when I think about my baptism, man, I just get that excitement come over. It was the best day of my life. Because my life changed. It's never been the same. And after you come up, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. And we always say that because everybody's not preaching the sound doctrine. You want a church that's preaching sound doctrine, because sound doctrine makes sound people. You understand? And you want to get yourself involved. You're not going to be the preacher right away. Get yourself involved. Do something. Say, well, pastor, can I run the vacuum? Can I run the vacuum in the sanctuary and clean the bathroom? I did that. I start cleaning the bathroom. You know, fix the toilets, fix the sink, change the washers and the seats in the sink. I did all that stuff. But that's my gift. I use my gift for the church. Still use it. If I pull up at your church and the toilet running, I got stuff in my car. I got flappers and all that type of stuff. That if something's running, I can fix it. If I'm in the city with my truck. But God bless you all. Thank God for you all that heard the message today. And the message was a very simple message. The rich man, the beggar, and eternity. The rich man, the beggar, and eternity. You can't get it more simple than that. That's what God told me last night. Either you're going to be the rich man, a beggar, or you on your path, on the path to eternity with God. Which one? The line is open. I'm finished.
God bless you. Thank you for your message today. Really enjoy hearing the word of God. And thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of hearing the truth preached so that we could get our focus. Sometimes we need to get our focus back because it ain't all about the money. But people need to know God, and the word of God brings faith, and people can get close to God. Some people use Jesus' name to make money, but they don't know God. They don't have a relationship, and you need to know God and have a relationship with God, to walk with God and to know Jesus day in and day out, not using Jesus' name to get rich quick or some money scheme, using the name of God, but to know him personally, have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, to focus back on what's important in life. So I thank you for your message. I thank you for your heart for God and your servanthood, and you're willing to serve the saints, and more than everything, to serve Jesus with a whole heart, that you would walk with him and that he would walk with you all your days.
Thank you so much, my brother of Florida. We thank God for you. We pray God continue to move on your life and continue to lead and guide you as he lead and guide us. Because we all need the leading and guiding of the Most High. You know, none of us are there yet. I know I'm not there yet. But I pray for him each day. And I pray for you all, even as you all pray for me, I pray for you all too. I pray that he lead me, you know, because that old Satan, I call him Slewfoot. He don't give up. I'm telling you something, that's if I tell that joke and did something to me a couple of days ago, and I just look at him and laugh. I'm telling you something, I just look at him and laugh. That old Satan. He, least that you think that old joker come and say, look, I want to show you something. brother, if I tell you, you wouldn't believe. That old Satan told me, he said, look, I want to show you something. And I said, no, devil. You don't need to show me nothing. Because, see, I've been there. I've seen it and done it. You ought to show me nothing. But that's the devil that out there. And, you know, people say, well, you're a pastor. You can't do that. No. I want you to go back and look at Matthew chapter 4. And you will see, that's great evidence. Because, you know, people say, well, the devil can't do nothing to me. You ain't that strong, brother. If you yield to him, he will take you out. You see, after Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, what did he do? He would lead up to, by the Spirit, Satan sure. Start showing him all type of stuff. First thing he said, can you turn the stones into bread? Because Satan knows he was hungry. He just fasted 40 days. Satan is no joke, man. So don't play with him. I tell you all, don't play with Satan, because if you play with him, your soul will get in jeopardy. Man, stand flat-footed. Let him know. Anytime he comes around, say, no, I serve Jesus. Quick. Say, I serve you. Jesus! Call on Jesus. Say, Jesus, Satan is knocking. Answer the door. You know what I tell you? As soon as he starts testing you, say, Jesus, Satan is knocking. Answer the door. You will have the victory. All the time. All the time. That's what I do. My wife, she said, what are you saying? I said, shut up.
He said, "What are you talking to?" I said, "Talking about Satan. That old devil trying to put some thoughts in my mind. Because that's where he goes. He goes in your mind, in our mind. Put a thought in our mind. Even when you get mad with your wife or your husband, that's Satan. He want you to trying to bring discord between you and your mate. You got to tell him, shut up. Not tell your wife, not tell your husband. Tell Satan, shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear you. My mind is covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm protected. I got on the helmet of salvation, so go somewhere. I got the breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, the belt of truth. My feet is shod with the gospel of peace. I get away. You got to let him know that you're fully armored, man. The line is open. The line is open. Thank you so much, sir, for coming in and sharing.
Yes, sir. That's what Satan said to Jesus when he tempted him. I know that scripture you're talking about when he was fasting in the wilderness. Satan says, bow. That's what Satan will do. He said, bow, bow. Try to tempt you to bow your knee. Bow your knee to Satan, bow. In Jesus' name, we say, no. No, Satan, you got to go. And the Bible says Jesus used the word of God. He said, you shall serve the worship the Lord your God, and him only shall thou serve. I'm not going to bow down to Satan. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so Jesus used the word of God. Like you said, tell him, shut up in Jesus' name. So you have no place here in my house. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Satan's crafty. He's sneaky, but the word of God cuts like a sword right down to the point, even dividing the bone and the marrow, that you would have the victory in Jesus' name.
In the Bible day, she had been sick so very long. She heard that the Savior was passing by, so she joined the gathering band. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "Woman, what are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I've been made whole right now. Oh, yeah." She cried, oh, 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 oh. The woman cried, oh, Lord. And oh, God said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I've been made whole right now. Well, this woman spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could. but their medicine would do the woman no good, yeah. But when she touched him, my Savior didn't see. But still, he turned around and cried, someone touched me. She said, if I would just want to touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole right now. Wonderful, yeah. My Lord is so wonderful. Oh, yeah. He's wonderful, yeah. I know he's so wonderful. Oh, yeah. Well, the Lord shepherd him, he's my guide. Whatever I need today, my Lord will provide and praise his name. My Lord, he's so wonderful. He's wonderful, and wonderful, yeah. Anybody here know the Lord is so wonderful? My God is so wonderful. Oh, yeah. Don't you know? The Lord is wonderful, yeah. I know that my Lord, he's so wonderful. Oh, yeah. And oh, if you never tried the Lord, if I was you, I'd try him today, and you will see that my Lord somehow will make a way. And whoa, I really love him because he's so wonderful. He's so wonderful.
Give an honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Give an honor to God. Like I always say, he have no rivals. He have no contenders. He have no partners. He's God's all alone. He don't need nobody here because he's God. And I thank God that I serve a God like him. As the scripture said, well, fear not. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He will help me. He will uphold me with the right hand of his righteousness. And I pray for that for everyone on the line today that's listening. Because I need God to lift me up. I don't know about anybody else on this line. But I need the Lord every day of my life. I can't make it without him. I have tried and thought I could. But I came back to realization that I need Christ. He the only one. I thank God for Apostle Calvin. And I thank God for the young man that was talking, giving his testimony, expressing his feelings about how he feel about God. And I thank God that I'm alive and above ground and not beneath ground. I thank God for everyone on the line today. I pray that God bless everyone's family, bless their homes, heal any sickness.
I command any sickness to leave right now and go back to the pits of hell and never to return in the name of Jesus. Because he's able. He sent his word to heal, so his word is already him. We need to receive his word. Receive your healing. I don't care what you're going through. Receive your healing from God. Because it's all right to go to the doctor. But it's God that do the healing. And I thank God that sometimes, you know, you feel like you're all alone, but you're not alone. It was so many times I felt all alone. But then a lot of times when I feel all alone, I find myself talking to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realize I'm never alone. And Apostle Calvin, I pray for you and your family, your wife, that he bless you and your children. I pray for your sister. That everything goes all right with her. And I pray for when you travel, that God will carry you there safe and bring you back safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for you every day in this line because, you know, I like when someone trying to do something for the Lord, I really want them to prosper. You know, Apostle told me one time, he said, well, now, Elder Larry, you ain't got no excuse for doing what you need to do for God. So I'm not going to make no excuses. I know you're not. And I just pray that, you know, whatever God lead you or anyone on this land to do, make sure you're doing it for Christ. And I turn the line back over to you, Apostle.
Thank you so much, Elder. We thank God for you. And thank God for that anointed song that you sung over there. I really appreciate it. It just touches my soul, you know, to hear you singing out to the Lord. You know, very beautiful. The line is open.
Isn't it amazing what a prayer can do? When it all seems hopeless, it'll pull you through. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how a broken heart grows strong? And every now and then, that special someone comes along. Isn't it amazing what a prayer can do?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, it's true. It is amazing what a prayer can do. That's the song of itself right there. Tell you the truth. Prayer can do a whole lot. A whole lot. All we have to do is believe.
Amen.
Well, Elder, I guess nobody's got a word to share. You can go ahead and pray and close us out. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. The Lord say the same. I'll be on the prayer line tonight with Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington. The Lord say the same.
Oh, gracious Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords. The rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the first and the last. We give you all the praises this day, Father. We give you all the honor this day, Father. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad then. We thank you, Lord, for another day to be able to gather in your name, to hear the word of God, to be delivered, to be set free. Be healed from every sickness, every disease, every affliction. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and knowledge of the word that's preached by the man of God. The words be like fire in his mouth. to penetrate someone's heart. Touch an evil heart, wicked heart, that they may turn their self to you and turn away from their wicked way and seek you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, because it's all because of you, Father. We don't give ourselves no credit. We give you all the credit and honor. We bless your holy name. We lift up your holy name. We magnify the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. God bless you all. Thank God for Pastor Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Thank God for all you all coming on today. And pray that you all can come and thank God for Brother Robert. He was on with us too. And Minister Jones, we thank God for a brother from Florida. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, if the Lord say the same, and we are in the land of the living. And we believe we will be because the Lord say so. And we'll be here together, releasing what that says the Lord. So have a blessed evening and a safe evening, and stay aware of your surroundings, because these are perilous times. You got to pay attention to your surroundings. If you're just going to the store to get a candy bar, get a soda, get some water, pay attention to your surroundings. Okay, the life you save may be your own. Don't say, well, I'm saved and sanctified, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and go there walking like a chicken with a head cut off. Pay attention to your surroundings. Even if you're in a car, you still got to pay attention. We just had somebody shooting on the highway here. Another country, a couple of countries over from us, and off of 93, the highway. And they were having road rage, and people start shooting, and other people's car get hit that wasn't even in the road rage. So you have to pay attention to where you are. You know, of course, people look, it's simple out there today. You know, there's a lot of hatred, and a lot of people are fighting against what they don't have no control over. You know, that's why I pray about everything, because I know I'm not perfect. So I know he is. I pray about everything. And if he said don't, I don't. If he said okay, I say okay, Lord. But I have to do that just for me. And I tell you, Jesus told the disciples in the garden to watch and pray lest they fall to temptation. I'm saying to you all, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Okay? God bless you all. I love you all so much, but God loves you more. I'll see you all tomorrow afternoon, if the Lord say the same. All right? Bye-bye.